Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
You know, how many of you believe that Jesus is still the reason for the season? How many of you put your Christmas tree up in November? Those of you who are watching online, there's some people that are better. How many of you put your Christmas tree up in November, but you're usually December people, but you got it up early? I don't know why that is, but it seems like this year people have been keen to get on the Christmas train. They've been keen to feel festive, to bring some kind of joy into the house. The reason, I think, is because in light of the kind of year that we've had, there's something on the inside of us that knows intuitively that the human soul was actually created for joy. That the human soul was created to celebrate, to have joy, to receive and to express it. And to not feel joy, to have a kind of joyless year, just doesn't feel right, particularly for us as believers. And we see this narrative in the Bible right throughout, from Genesis to Revelation. We see, particularly in the book of Psalms, that we see that the natural, predisposed, created way of expressing ourselves is actually joy. That's why we see in Psalms, particularly like Psalm 16, it says, in His presence is fullness of sadness. Does it say that? It says, in His presence is fullness of joy. And we see expressions of, you know, shout for joy and sing for joy to the Lord. We see expressions of, my soul shall be full of joy. In fact, the psalmist prays, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Yeah. There is something about the human soul that cries out and craves for the way that God created for us to be, which is to have joy. I don't know about you, but, you know, it seems strange that now, more than ever, we're at a time in human history where we have more information at our disposal. We have more resource at our disposal. We have more things, and yet we don't have joy. We are living in what they say is an epidemic of depression and lack of joy and sadness, surrounded by our latest gadgets, our latest screens. Our most connected time in the world is right now. We can connect digitally, and yet we are living in a season where it is an epidemic of joylessness. And for so many of us, particularly if you're watching this online, 2020 has been a very difficult year. There's no doubt about it that 2020 has been very disrupted for so many of us. It has not turned out the way that we thought. And those of us that are living in Western Australia have come through relatively unscathed. But so many people around the world, this is a very difficult time and it has been a very difficult year. And you know, it feels like our joy has tried to be killed out of us. But how many of you know that you can't kill joy, particularly if you're a believer, because joy is not an emotion, joy is a person. And His name is Jesus. The world may try and kill our joy, but joy is not tethered to a circumstance. Joy is a person, and His name is Jesus. And so today I want to speak to you on the thought, great joy in Jesus. Great joy in Jesus. I'm going to give you today some theology that is not just going to hold you in good stead right through the lead up to Christmas, but long term as a believer, because this is what you need to understand, that great joy is your rightful inheritance because of Jesus. Turn to someone and say, great joy is your rightful inheritance because of Jesus. Oh, wow, did me good to say that. Great joy is your rightful inheritance because of Jesus. And so my prayer for us today is that in the lead up to Christmas, you'll awaken to the fact that great joy is your rightful inheritance because of Jesus. It is your right to access and have and live with great joy because Jesus has come to the world. The original Christmas account that's found in the book of Matthew chapter 2, when Jesus enters into the world, He's born into the world, it doesn't happen the way that we experience Christmas now. Subsequent Christmases, that on that first Christmas night, it wasn't filled with Mariah Carey Christmas songs and beautiful baubles and Christmas trees and Christmas lights. When Jesus entered into the world, it was after 400 years of relative silence. So it felt like God was not speaking. There was no new prophetic revelation. There was no new recorded conversation with God and humanity. 400 years of what seemed like, God, where are you? Hello. Some of you thought that in May this year, God, where are you? This is 400 years of that. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? It felt like God was far away. And when Jesus was born into the world, into the nation of Israel in a little town called Bethlehem, it was the whole entire nation of Israel was under Roman rule. And I promise you, that wasn't a fun time for the Jews because the Romans mistreated the Jews. And Caesar at the time, in all his conquests, he made very certain for every nation that he conquered, they knew exactly who the ruler was. He ruled it with an iron fist. And his delegated authority at the time, the guy that was on his payroll over the region of Israel, was a guy by the name of Herod the Tetrarch. He was particularly cruel and bloodthirsty. And any kind of conversation about a king, a ruler, a Messiah, a savior, his whole goal was to exterminate and eradicate that completely. So as soon as he heard, got wind of the potential, maybe that could be a child that may have been divinely born onto the earth, that could be a king, he issued an edict to kill every baby boy 2 years old and under in the region of Bethlehem. How many of you know that is not a fun time? Jesus was born into that kind of world. Darkness through the generations had got darker. For 400 years seems easy for me to say, but when you've got to live those 400 years, that's a lot of generations of waiting, of hope fading. Hello. Some of you have had that kind of year where it feels like it's stuff is just dragged on and we don't know the end of it. Where was God in all of this until that one incredible night that changed human history forever, where joy came into the world? Where joy. So we're going to pick that up in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. It says this: Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east. I love that. My favorite joke is that Asians have been smart since Jesus' days. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled or worried, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired or asked of them where the Christ was to be born, because he was trying to conspire a strategy to kill Jesus. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, of course, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler. What? His ears pricked up. Verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, for when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. How many of you know that he was lying? The spirit of deception, right? Yeah. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Say, exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. So the first time we see the word joy being used in the New Testament is right here at the introduction of Jesus into the world. Joy is not an emotion, joy is a person. Yeah. Joy is not a feeling, it's who Jesus is. And this Christmas season, I want you to know that you were designed to live with great joy. You were not designed to live a joyless life, but great joy can be found in Jesus. And here, these learned men, trained philosophers from the east, we think they're from the region of Persia. They travel hundreds of kilometers. These guys would have studied, they would have researched, they would have searched. Only guys that were innately driven, men that were innately driven to fill the void in their life would travel hundreds of kilometers to find what they've trained their whole lives to find. They knew that something was missing in all their learnings, in all their searchings. And here they were, when they came to the manger where Jesus lay, their immediate instinct was to bow down and worship. They had no grid for what worship looked like. It's not like they could get online and go, oh, that's how they worship at church. They lift their hands and that. No. But as soon as they saw the star standing still, great joy came upon them because they came into the presence of God and they immediately fell down and worshiped. I don't know about you, but it's time for the church to step back in this Christmas and awaken to the fact that great joy is our rightful inheritance in Jesus. The world doesn't need another depressed church. The world doesn't need another depressed believer, another sad, whinging, complaining believer. What the world needs is for the church to begin to believe again that great joy is our rightful inheritance, because we're not tethered to circumstances. We are tethered to Jesus. But you know what? This account in Matthew chapter 2 has a prophetic caution attached to it. We see Herod, who was the ruler of the day. He represented the predominant thinking, the dominant way of doing things at the time. And his entire game, his entire mission was to kill or exterminate Jesus out of the history books. I don't know about you, but it feels every Christmas that the world is still doing the same thing. the spirit of Herod is still alive, wanting to take Christ out of Christmas. Hello. And we wonder why we have less joy now than ever before, when more and more the world is trying to eradicate Christ. And the best that the world can come up with is momentary happiness at Christmas. That's why they come up with Santa Claus. Because the best that the world can offer is momentary happiness. Maybe exchange a gift. Maybe eat a nice meal. But the world can't offer what only Jesus can, which is true, real, great joy. And I want to say this to you today. Let's not let the spirit of Herod invade our worldview today. Let's not invade our heart today. Come on, let's be of those that understand that great joy is our rightful inheritance in Jesus. You know, and this is what I love about great joy, is that anyone can have great joy because anyone can encounter Jesus. It doesn't matter about your circumstance. It doesn't matter about how rich you are, how poor you are, where you're at. It's interesting to me that the very first people to have experienced great joy in the New Testament when the Gospels erupt into being were not even the Jews. They were Persian astrologers. Yeah. Hello. Come on. Jesus is for everyone everywhere. Yeah. Anyone can have great joy because anyone can encounter Jesus. Yeah. I don't know what your 2020 has looked like today. Maybe you've come to church and you feel like it's been a relatively joyless time. But this is what these wise men from the east, the Bible says that they fixed their eyes on the star, which pointed them to where Jesus was. And when the star stood still, it wasn't a star, it was a light of some kind. It was a divine supernatural sign. When that star stood still, the Bible says, great joy came upon them and they went into the house to worship. I don't know where you've put your eyes on this year, but it's time to get your eyes off your newsfeed. It's time to get your eyes off social media. It's time to get your eyes off the newspapers. It's time to get your eyes off CNN and the news. But it's time to fix your eyes on the star again, because it's standing still over the church once more, saying Jesus is here. Jesus is our great... Am I speaking to a church this morning? Yeah. Jesus is your great joy. But what I love about what the Bible teaches about great joy is that when Jesus comes into the world, he introduces a joy like no other, a joy that no human soul has experienced before that. It's the joy that's only found in him. But whenever God gives us something like great joy that is our rightful inheritance, there's always more. God gives more than just what we need. With Jesus comes great joy. But then when Jesus ascended back into heaven, he said, I'm going to usher in a new era, and it is the era of the Holy Spirit. So catch this. Jesus is the giver of joy, but the Holy Spirit is the perpetual producer of joy. Yeah. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, did you know that? The Bible, Paul writes this in Galatians 5 verse 22, says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it is joy, it is peace, it is... Come on, are you out there? Yeah. So Jesus gives us joy when we encounter him, but when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he perpetually produces the fruit of joy. Come on, I need a resounding amen. Yeah, amen. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit produces love and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. Now, for those of you who don't know what forbearance is, it's what you need when you're married and have kids. The other word that's translated is long-suffering, but forbearance is good too. All right? I am just joking. I'm playing with you. But here's the thing. When you encounter Jesus, a joy comes into your life that you've never experienced, and then you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you perpetually have joy produced in you. Here's the thing about fruit, right? Fruit is simply the outcome of abiding, of being. You want the branch, stay abiding to the vine, and you will produce the fruit. Makes sense to you? Yeah. And so I want to encourage you today, this Christmas, don't just have an encounter with Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, and joy will be your portion. And this is the great news for every believer, that if you believe in God, that you've got Jesus, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no excuse not to have great joy. Everyone can have great joy. What I love about what God has gifted us is that this great joy is for you and it's for me, regardless of your circumstance, regardless of the kind of year that you've had, regardless of how terrible you even think that the things that are surrounding you are. You might be watching online right now and you are stuck in your home and have been for weeks with no end in sight to this lockdown. You need to know that you can have great joy, because great joy is not tethered to what's happening to you. It's who you have in you. The Church of Thessalonica is the church that Paul, one of the churches that Paul planted. And when Paul planted the church, he'd heard after he'd planted it and led it and established it, he'd moved on, and he'd heard word of what the church in Thessalonica was going through. They were under incredible persecution. There was beatings, there was torture, there was imprisonment, there was all of these things. People that were harshly treated even to the point of death just for gathering to hear the word being taught. Hello. Let's not complain about scanning QR codes, okay? People in human history have had it far worse than us when it comes to the gospel. Paul writes this back, and this is going to just mess with your brain a little because it did with me. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 says this, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message or heard the gospel in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." What on earth is going on here? How can you have the same words, severe suffering and joy, in the same sentence? Hello, are you out there? How is it possible? Because this is going to mess with all of your blessing theology. How is it possible to have severe suffering or severe trial, as other translations put it, and joy in the same sentence? But it's very possible to be undergoing severe suffering and have great joy, because joy is not given to us by the circumstances, it's given to us by the Holy Spirit. Joy is not something we tether our understanding of what is going on around us to, but it's a revelation of who we have on the inside of us. How is it possible to even have severe suffering and have great joy? Well, what Jesus came to give you and what the Holy Spirit constantly produces in you is a joy that is not at the mercy of your circumstance. How many of you are so glad about that? It ain't at the mercy of your circumstance. The joy that you have is not at the mercy of the kind of year that you have. It's not at the mercy of the fact that you might be on Job Seeker or you might have been on Job Keeper. It's not at the mercy of the fact that your plans have been disrupted. It's not at the mercy of maybe you've had personal circumstance, nothing to do with the pandemic. It's just been a really crazy, tough, yucky year. It's got nothing to do with that. What Jesus came to give you and what the Holy Spirit constantly produces in you is never at the mercy of what's going on around you. Can we thank God for that? Great joy. Great joy, great joy is what every believer has rightful inheritance of. You know, having great joy is not just what we created to have, but we were also created to share great joy. John Pentel, you were created to share great joy. Did you know that? You were created to share it. Having great joy, Jason Cox, is not just something you were created to have. You were created to share it. And by golly, the world needs the church to share great joy. Now more than ever, the world needs the church not just to awaken to the fact that we have great joy, but we were created to share it. Christians should be the greatest peddlers of great joy out there. We should be like the greatest billboards of great joy. You can't tell sometimes when you talk to some Christians. You know what I'm saying? Like we should be the greatest sharers of great joy out there. The reason that we don't firstly receive great joy or know that we have it, or know that it's our rightful inheritance. And secondly, we never share it because you can't share what you don't have. It's because we don't realize that joy comes from who we have on the inside of us rather than what's going on the outside of us. It's easy for us to think that, oh, you know, the shepherds had exceedingly great joy, in Luke chapter 2, and that the wise men had great joy when they heard of Jesus. These guys that experienced that great joy were experiencing under great duress. The wise men had to lie their way through so that they wouldn't be found out because Herod was trying to kill Jesus. Hello. The shepherds knew that they'd be arrested if they knew that they heralded, proclaimed the birth of Jesus. Noel, born as the king of Israel. They would have been killed had they been heard. See, you know, but what I find the most inspiring out of that whole original Christmas account, if you understood the context of what was going on there, I find the most inspiring person in that whole account was actually Mary, the mother of Jesus. What a legend. I mean, this woman was like legit. There's a whole different category of legend status for her, right? She's a 16-year-old plucked out of nowhere, 17-year-old teenage girl, plucked out of nowhere. God, in his infinite wisdom, just chose her, saw her heart and chose her, right? And an angel appears to her and breaks the news to her to say, hey, Mary, you're going to stay a virgin and you're not even going to have time to get married yet, but I will divinely cause you to immaculately conceive of the Savior of the world, and you will have only a small little assignment that you need to do for me. You need to carry the Savior of the world and bear him into the world. Just so you know, if you can do that for me, that'd be really great. I don't know about you, but if I was a teenage girl, and thank God I'm not. Oh, Jesus, thank God I'm not. I have nieces. Thank God I'm not a teenage girl. Whew. But if I was a teenage girl, I'd be freaking out. Do you know what I mean? Like that is, I'll be hiding in a corner somewhere because this is like, God, it's just like the craziest thing that you're asking me to do. And yet when that conversation with the angel finishes and says, yep, okay, I'll do whatever that you ask, right? The next words to come out of Mary's mouth were this: my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices or finds joy in God, my Savior. I don't know about you, but if I was Mary, I'd be posting on social media, oh my, this is the worst day of my life. You would try explaining the Immaculate Conception to all your girlfriends. She was born at a time when society was not. This is first century Middle East culture. Highly religious. It would not have been kind to teenage pregnancies. She would have had no pregnancy problem house. She would have no support network. She would have had nothing to hold on to. And here she was, able to find Mary being pregnant was fraught with danger for her. That's why she had to flee. She had to escape, become an asylum seeker in Egypt. Hello. Yeah. This was an incredibly dangerous task that she was given. And yet in her heart, she knew that my soul is going to glorify the Lord and my spirit is going to find joy in God, my Savior, because this young teenager knew that her joy was not found in the external circumstance surrounding her. It was found in who she was carrying. It was found in it. And I know now more than ever, the world needs the church to be Marys to our cities, to be Marys to our community. Come on. It is not because of what's happening to us, but who we're carrying. Her joy was found with what was on the inside of her rather than what was going on the outside of her. You know what's so powerful about great joy? You weren't just created to have it, but you were created to share it. And when you share it, the great joy in your life actually affects every single person that you come into contact with. Have you ever met someone that you know that they've been through such a really crazy time, and yet they just seemed to have this joy that is supernatural? How many of you know that sort of person stands out? How many of you know someone like that? You just know that, man, I know how sick you've been this year. I know how incredibly challenging life has been for you this year, and yet every time we catch up, I'm feeling inspired. How many of you know someone like that? Because Mary was that kind of person. We catch up on an account in the book of Luke, chapter 1, where Mary, we think that she was already pregnant with Jesus at the time, even though we're not sure for certain, but there is no reason to believe that she wasn't because the conversation with the angel had finished and she'd agreed to it. But she'd gone to visit a relative of hers. We think it's her first cousin by the name of Elizabeth. Elizabeth has her own different story. She was much older than Mary. She had been barren for many years. She conceives naturally to her own husband because God promised her. She's now pregnant 6 months in with her baby, which would be John the Baptist. And so Mary goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, and it says this in this account, Luke 1 verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, this is Mary saying, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear, she says of Mary. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Here's the joy in Mary causing a joy in Elizabeth. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. I'm going to preach this. Mary had every reason to be anxious, to be worried, to be frightful, to just crawl back in her hole and hide and get away from society because there's no way of explaining this growing bump in her. Hello, come on. There was no support. She's a virgin. She's a young girl. This is an incredibly difficult time. She would have feared for her life. She had every reason to not have joy. And yet here she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and the Bible says that the baby inside of Elizabeth leaps for joy. I'm wondering, maybe this is a prophetic picture of how God wants to raise up a church where wherever we go, we cause what's on the inside of other people to leap with joy rather than kill the hope out of them. Maybe, just maybe, as believers, we're called to be the Marys to our community, to our families, where we come in and we change atmospheres, not because of what's going on and happening to us, but because of who we have on the inside of us. Oh, I want to be part of a church that understands that who we have on the inside causes the barista that we meet every morning as we get our coffee, we cause something to come alive on the inside of him. Maybe as we're sitting down in the hairdressers after we register for our contact tracing and all of that sort of stuff, as we're sitting there, as we're chatting with him, maybe we cause something on the inside of him to leap. Maybe, you know, there's a whole school community where you drop your kids off at the primary school and you meet with other parents. Maybe what's on in the inside of you causes what's in them to jump for joy. We ought to be the greatest peddlers of great joy there is, because I believe that there are fewer things that are greater testimony to how real Jesus is than for a believer to have great joy in spite of what's going on the inside of him. Very few testimonies that are far more powerful. It beats beating someone over the head with the Bible and with Scripture. See, there is something very powerful about the world seeing there's something different about you, Roland Murphy. Why is it that you tell me why that you just feel so joyful all the time? Taja, you know, there's something about your life. How is it that you're always so happy all the time? Penny Street, how is it that you're always just so joyful? Tell me about what is it that's on your life. I want to be part of a church where people point not to what we know, but who we have. Mm. In the lead up to Christmas, great joy. It's the wonder of the Savior. If you've got faith in God, and if you've got Jesus in your heart, and if you're filled by the Holy Spirit, we ought to have great joy. I need a resounding amen from you.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.